TV.
Well, instead of the Shroud of Turin, we have the Shroud of Terry. I thought it was warm enough in here, but apparently the air conditioner is set too low. And well, he is from Canada. Does that make sense? I don't know. Yeah, because you're always bundled up in Canada. You forget where you are. You're in South Florida. But at least we don't have to see that shirt again. I mean, I you know, thank goodness for that. Except, no, don't.
Being
don't
tired, I have to.
Don't tell me. Don't tell me. You're wearing a shirt again? What's
really,
that?
Really tired. So Red Bull, so I had to take it off.
What do you, Red Bull?
Red Bull.
Okay, cheers. I get the whiskey. And we know why you drink whiskey. You just like drinking whiskey. So you're tired right now.
And a bit of a buzz because I was just drinking the whiskey.
Terrence Clemens has a buzz. Not many people admit that on the video.
Might be the first time I sinned in 15 years.
That's why I brought you here, because, you know, you're the first sinless wonder boy. I mean, it's amazing. 15 years and this is the first time. How do you do it?
Just a boring person.
Oh, that's it. You got to be bored to be pure. Makes sense to me. I'll drink to that. Here, you got to be bored to be pure. Okay. As you can see, folks, a little levity to start the day here. I don't think Terry actually believes that, of course. But you're being funny, right, Terry?
Yeah. Although I was going to pretend I thought I didn't sin for 15 years for a few minutes.
Oh, I didn't let it go long enough. I'm sorry. I lost a joke. I owe you one after that. I promised everyone that I call him Young Terrence. Greg calls him Terrence the Younger. I promised you I'd have him back here. First of all, thank you for all your comments, and Terry appreciates your comments. My sister called you a Bible scholar, and it's true. You're a Bible scholar.
Hardly.
You're so well-read, and on the topic of the preexistence of Christ, which we're not going to talk about today, yay. On that topic, you thought of things that I would never have thought of and brought things up I never would have brought up. That whole chart thing was your idea, and the cause of the problem being lack of reverence, that was you. And pointing out to me that the Tories equated Son of God with form of God, that never occurred to me. But you think about this a lot.
Yeah. Some people probably thought I sinned quite a bit on those couple episodes there. I should say, maybe clarify one thing. When I refer to it being satanic, I think I said that. I do believe that Satan opposes the glories of Christ, but I don't mean at all that those who hold to the non-preexistence are satanic. I've heard some nice things, for instance, about Liam, that he's really shown some nice growth over the years, and he seems like a decent person. So, you know, now I'm going to speak nicely of them, try to win back at least their if I lost any friendships, I'm trying now to be friends with them again.
Yeah, I don't think you have to, well, scoot in a little closer here, Terry. I just like to get warm by this blanket here, if I can share some of this. Oh, God, that's so nice. Oh, God, that's so nice. I want to be nice, too, starting now. I've been awful mean, too, Terrence. I've been mean to Liam. I've been mean to Peter May. But honestly, in all seriousness, these men are really beautiful people. We know them both. I don't know if you've ever met Peter May.
No.
No?
No.
I have, many times. Great friend, and we're still friends. It's not like we're not friends because we disagree. Liam, I've never met him, but I've been on screen with him. Beautiful guy. Clyde Pilkington, we both love Clyde. In fact, we both lived with Clyde in 2013 or 2014?
Yeah, you can't say enough good things about Clyde, quite frankly. He's treated me better than I've treated him. He, still to this day, when I think of someone who's Christ-like, I think of Clyde. He, nothing bad to be said about him, really.
Yeah, he's a beautiful man. He seems always to be in a good mood. I don't know how he manages that, but he does. He's a saintly man. Like I told people many times, he rescued me from a terrible emotional time back in 2013, I think it was. And then you came. I lived there for, I think, almost 2 years. And then you came to Clyde's. And Clyde owns a series of three houses. It was an old funeral home arrangement. So we ate every night in the old funeral home, the funeral parlor. You know, it had all the swirls on the ceiling and some of the funeral lamps. It was a little creepy because every time we went to our cars in the garage, we walked past the embalming room. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think I took a shower in the whatever you call it.
You took a shower in the embalming room?
The embalming shower or whatever you call it.
The embalming shower. Oh, do you remember the time we snuck the cigars up in the attic?
Yeah. Yeah, that you had an interesting idea there. And we ended up getting caught, didn't we?
Well, we got caught years later. We really like to smoke cigars together, but Windber in the winter is just horrible. It's in a valley, an old coal mining town, and Terry and I were really jonesing for a cigar. But it was so cold out, we couldn't go outside. But it was verboten to smoke in the house, of course. But one evening, we crept up to the attic, tippy-top of the attic, and we lit up our cigar. We brought a space heater with us because it was so cold in the attic, and it was like 20 below, 10, 15 below outside, just ungodly cold. And so we brought a space heater up there, pretending it was a campfire, and we opened the window to let the smoke out, but the cold immediately came in, and we sat there, we pretended we were in the Yukon, I think.
I think we only did it once or twice at the very least, but it was a nice memory. We sinned that day.
Yeah, and we sinned that day. But that's outside of your 15 year. It's close to being outside of your 15 year sinless record, I think.
Close,
right. But you remember we looked down and Clyde pulled into the driveway and I was like, oh, no, Dad's home.
Yeah, I think I recall that, looking down at him. I think I was worried he would smell the smoke. And to be honest, I felt kind of, you know.
Yeah, I know.
It's weird. No one has shown more hospitality. Again, nothing. It's just, no family ever showed hospitality like they did. And I mean all of them, his children,
yes.
all of them. If anyone had a failing, it was me.
Yes, that's
not
true. Yeah.
Not them.
Yes, absolutely. So. Well, me too. You're right. Their hospitality was unparalleled. And I remember, like, we treated, even though Clyde is Clyde older or younger than me? We're only apart in age by a few months. I forget which way, but he always seemed like a father figure to me, like Dad. And we looked down there, oh, no, Dad's pulling in the driveway. And we say, well, I remember thinking, I hope he doesn't look up here. But it was years later, maybe 5 years later, when they went to clean the attic of that middle house and they saw our ashes on the windowsill. And I think they knew who it was because nobody smoked cigars besides us. And we were busted, Terry, like 10 years later.
Yeah, I just heard that story recently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, busted. Okay, well, what I wanted to do today was ask you about your walk in Christ. And I'm always interested in the organized religions people came through and the bondage they experienced before they came into the liberty and the freedom of Christ. Now, if I understand correctly, you were raised in a Baptist household?
Yeah, I want to clarify one thing right off the bat, though. Mm-hmm. I don't personally believe at this moment that I will be one of the ones ruling and reigning with Christ. That's my honest opinion. So if I give a testimony, I'm not claiming to be, you know, anywhere close to the apostle.
But you haven't sinned in 15 years until today. How could you think that?
Well, all of the previous sins were just so many.
They were so bad. Yeah.
I was raised in a religious home, good parents. I really struggled with assurance of salvation, and I did notice more than one gospel, if you can even use that word.
Really?
On the one side, it was mainly faith alone. On the other side, there was some precondition. Of course, if you include the free will, that, you know, both had a precondition. But I was noticing more than one gospel, and being the son of a pastor, I was kind of embarrassed to bring it out. And, you know, I... Because of that, I refused to ever take communion or be baptized, which people, no one gave me any flack for it, but I really just struggled with how to have assurance of salvation. And
well, you felt guilty at that time about coming into the truth. You were seeing things that you knew were inconsistent with the Baptist faith, and your father was a pastor of the church?
Yeah. And a nice gentleman. He wasn't the type who enjoyed the idea of hell, and I don't recall him ever talking bad about others and wonderful things about himself. So as far as being a Baptist minister is concerned, he was probably one of the better ones.
That's a beautiful testimony to say of your father. Did you come to a realization of the truth? Is your father still alive?
No.
Did you come to a realization of the truth while he was alive?
Yeah.
And did you try to talk to him about it? What happened?
Yeah, no, he was pretty easygoing on the salvation of all. He began to notice the two gospels later in life. Okay. He was always dispensationalist. I noticed a difference many years previous with Paul used justification while the others didn't. Mm. So that's how I did kind of notice that on my own before I read Knock.
Wow.
But only to a certain degree.
Right.
A lot of it I got from, I read Ryrie's Dispensationalism Today, where he mentioned Knock, and eventually I started, I guess, reading some of his works.
I know. What's the name of the book that turned a corner for you?
I think it was Dispensationalism Today, because I was a dispensationalist.
Who wrote that book?
Ryrie.
Okay.
I was an Acts 28 dispensationalist, Bollingerite or whatever. But when I read that book, he talked about hyper-dispensationalism and mentioned Knock.
Oh.
And I ignored him for a while because he was a Trinitarian. So I remember the All in All being a huge book on my life. I don't know if I read anything. I think I did read something previous to that when I went to Bible college. Concordant stuff kind of showed up in my life.
Yeah.
On two occasions, I found the Concordant version in the library of a friend of my father's, another Baptist minister.
Now, I want to point out that All in All is a book by A.E. Knock. It is available, I believe, maybe for free on the Concordant website under publications or books or something. You might find it if you fish around there. You might have to order it. But so that book really had an influence on you. That book convinced you. You already maybe suspected. I don't know, but that book did it for you.
I was convinced every step of the way. Mm-hmm. When I went to Bible college, I found the book, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ.
Wait a minute. You went to Bible college?
Yeah.
I didn't know this. You found what book there?
A.E. Knox book in the library.
You're kidding.
Yeah. So I came across the Concordant version in the library of a Baptist minister and Knox book at a Bible college. So it's almost like I was being led along because I was aware of. So I pretty well at Bible college came pretty close, I think, to accepting the salvation of all. But I think it was when I was in a bathtub reading All in All that finally everything. Because I remember where I was, so I think that was the big moment where I just relaxed that everyone I know be saved and.
Wow. Would you say that was a moment when you realized your Aeonian life at that time in a bathtub?
I don't know, but I do remember that specific moment today. So, you know, maybe that was the first time I realized I didn't have to do anything at all.
There it is. There it is. There it is right there. When you realize you don't have to do anything at all, the cross was sufficient. That is also known in Paul's gospel as Jesus Christ died for our sins. And I think that is the moment you realized it and you became aware that you were designated beforehand for Aeonian life.
And Paul says God chooses, you know, the ignoble and stuff. And I truly believe I probably, without God's grace, I am the lowest of the lowest and pathetic, you know, so
That's you have a. I know you have a low opinion of yourself. It kind of troubles me sometimes that you think so low of yourself. But on the other hand, I think, man, this guy really does have absolutely no confidence in the flesh, and this is part of your walk. I mean, it's remarkable that you would say that. The Apostle Paul says he was the lowest of the low, and I think that's a real mark of spirituality to see yourself as having no confidence in flesh. Yeah.
Yeah, if I'm watching something on TV, like on the documentary of some murderer or serial killer, it's like looking in the mirror. You think, big deal. That's what any of us could have been. I mean, it's sad, but I mean, without the grace of God, there's nothing commendable about any of us. And
that's so true. That is such a great revelation. Paul says it in, I forget where it is, but there before the grace of God go I. And that's a saying, comes from the scriptures, comes from the Apostle Paul, who was an actual murderer, was out killing friends of Christ. He was out to stamp out the way, and God apprehended him and overwhelmed him with grace. And it sounds like he did the same thing with you in a bathtub, overwhelmed you with grace, and you've never forgotten that, and you carry yourself as someone who has been saved by grace and by no effort of your own, none.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we're all, well, I'm a huge step down from the Apostle Paul, but nevertheless, both Paul, you and I, and everyone listening are still only saved through the blood of the cross, and we only progress as far as God's determination. You know, the Spirit of God is love, joy, peace. Any goodness comes from God alone, so we have to be thankful to Him. We're at different degrees of growth, and you know, to bring up those that don't support the non-preexistence of Christ again, ultimately, we're all at a different level of growth, and there's things about your lives that would put me to shame. So we're just all on a journey. But I do consider that even the non-preexistence people are believers, like Liam and Mikiel and the others, just to bring that up again.
Well, I think that's a high point to end this video on, the all-sufficiency of Christ and our inability, our unworthiness, and to be thankful every day that we've been chosen beforehand through no merit of our own. As Paul says in Timothy, we are chosen not in accord with our acts, but in accord with the grace of God. Terry, I'm so thankful you came for this visit. You helping me on that run was critical. When I was down and out, you came out in this shirt and your khakis. I think you're wearing the same. Yes, you're wearing the same pants.
It's men just right now that are together. So I'm
yeah, it's men. Where there's no women in this house, so that's just why we can get away with this kind of thing. But yeah, Terry, you've been a great friend for many years, and we haven't seen each other for a long time, but when we met at the airport again, it's like we've never been separated. That's the way it is with brothers in Christ. So I'm glad you came to visit, and I hope I can count on you coming back sometime soon.
You just never know.
Oh, you never know, but I think I do.